Today's daf is daf Kuf Mem Tes. So we got to the very bottom of Kuf Mem Ches, the last two lines. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes says, Yitol v'yizke v'yachzik v'yikne kulan lashem matanahem. Each one of those languages by themselves, each one would be sufficient to be considered a shemira as a matanah. If you look at the Rashbam, just for some clarification down here, Rashbam says three lines up, Amar Rav Sheshes Shchemira Shamar Yizke Ploni Benichsai, that so and so should be zoch in my property. O Yitol, O Yachzik, O Yikne, any of those Lashonos, Kulan Lashon Matana, Vikana, all those are considered a gift and it would work. The Lashon Matana Beinin, we've already learned before, you need to have a Lashon Matana, Kedamrin La'el, that if we said just that Bryce, just to remind ourselves, it says the Rashbam, Yidur Ploni Bebaize Lomar Klum. Until you say, I'm giving this, O Yitol, or Yikno, any of those Lashonos, all that would be sufficient for a Matnas Shchimira. So Gemara quotes a Brayis at the bottom here, B'masnisa, Tana, Af Yichsin V'yaris, B'roi, L'yarsha, Reb Yochan, Reb Broka. If you were to say the Lashon Yichsin, Lashon Yichus, or Lashon Yerusha, that would also be sufficient, according to Reb Yochan, Reb Broka, as long as the recipient is a Roi L'yarsha, because Reb Yochan, Reb Broka holds, you are allowed to gift to a Roi L'yarsha. So those languages work as well for Reb Yochan, Ben Broka. There is a debate in the Rishonim whether these types of languages would be sufficient for a Matnas Bari or not, or this only works for Matnas Shchemira. So some say that it doesn't work because this is a Kinyan Dvarim Ba'alma. There's no Maisa Kinyan here. But the Ramban writes that if it doesn't work for Matnas Bari, then it shouldn't be able to work for Matnas Shchemira because we have that parallel. Only things that work for Matnas Bari would work for Matnas Shchemira. So since it works for Matnas Shchemira, it must work for Matnas Bari as well. But again, the Rimagash argues and says it doesn't work. This is something unique by a Matnas Shchemira. The Gemara now asks, what about the following languages? Ibarilu, going on to Kuf Mem Tes now. Ibarilu, if you say, Yehane Behen Mahu, I want you to get Hana from them. Is that going to be good for a Lashon of Matnas Shchemira? So on one hand, the Gemara says, Dineve Kula Matana Kamar, I want you to benefit exclusively from you, that you're getting the exclusive beneficiary of this. It's a matana. Oh, Dilma lishani minayimiti kamar, I want you to get some level of hana, but not an exclusive hana, and it would not be considered a matnas shchemira. The Gemara asks further, what if you say lashon of yirah ben mahu, I want you to appear like it's yours. Does that mean entirely yours or not entirely yours? What about Yamur Behem Mahu? I wanted you to stand by them, to stand over them, to have some level of control. The Rabbeinu Gershom explains a little bit what these sveikos are. And then he asks, what about the Gemara Yushin Mehen? I want you to rely on them, depend on them. So all these last three Lashonos, the Gemara ends off as a teku. There is no answer whether these work for a Matnas Shchemira. Gemara asks, Ibarilu, Machar kol nechasiv mahu. What if he sells all his property? So he said, if the Matnas Shchemira gifts everything, he gives everything away, so then we know he only gave it away because he thought he wasn't going to live. But if he's Amad, he gets to get everything back. But what if he sells all his property away? So now what's the halacha? If he gets better, is he able to now take back that property he sold and return the money? Or no, a sale is different than a gift. Because a sale, at least he has money. He's holding on to money, so maybe the sale is final. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Marav, Im Amad Enochozer. It's final. If the guy gets healthy, it doesn't make a difference. He liquidated all his property, doesn't make a difference. Mechira is different than Matana. But Zimnan, other times, Amar of Yehuda Amarav, Im Amad Chozer. No, if the Shchemira gets healthy, so then all the sales are undone and he does get his property back. So this is obviously a stira in two statements in the name of Rav. Does a person who sells all the property and gets better, does he get the property back or it's lost forever? And so the Gemara answers, Velo Pligi, there is no debate here. Ha disneu lezuze b'anayu ha deparinu b'chovo. Depends what he did with the money. If he still has the money intact, so then the sale's not going to be final. But if he used the money to pay off a debt, so then the sale's final because obviously he sold it not because he was scared he wasn't going to live anymore. He sold the property because he needed cash to pay off the outstanding debts, and that would be considered final. If he sold it because of the money, he has money still in his possession, so then that sale is not final. He really wanted to have, something. Cash is better than property, maybe, but that sale wouldn't be final. Interesting, I don't know why the Rashbam doesn't explain anything here. But that's how it's understood, this distinction of whether he has the money or use the money to pay off debts. Gemara now says, Ibayilahu shchimira shehode mao. What's the law of a shchimira admits? He admits that he has, that so-and-so owes, I owe money to so-and-so, or this property is really Shimon's. Does a hodah work to be a final sale or not? So just look at the Rashbam here. Rashbam says three lines down from the top. Ibayilahu shchimira shehode. V'amar b'chelyo, he says while he's ill, Sode umaos halalu shel plonihin. This property, this money is from Ruven, to Ruven, it's for Shimon. V'yafa pisha haynu muchsakin b'nechasim halalu she'enin shel oso ploni. Even though everyone knows it's not Ruven and Shimon, but the Shemira says it is theirs. She'enin yodin she'en shel zehamod. Everyone knows it's the Shemira, the one who's admitting. Peim lacherim. Mi aminan shu omer kein shelo lahasbiya es banav. Maybe he's saying this because he doesn't want it to come across, whether it's to his children or to people around him, that he's very wealthy. So now you think that building is mine? That's not mine. That's Reuven's. That building is Shimon's. It's not my property. He's just saying this so people don't give him the don't get the impression that he's very, very wealthy. But he's really not. He's not lying, but it's some level of lie. Odilma came into Odi Odi. Or maybe his admission is a real, real admission here. So there is a very important shaila in the Rishonim that. What if Sada is mamish against the reality? It's sheker. It's mashra from this Rashbam that he doesn't know it. Everyone knows it's really, I'm admitting. And everybody knows it's mine. When I admit it's really a Dr. Shimai's property, so even though it's incorrect, it wasn't his, does my Hoda now actually work as a acquisition? Now he gets it. Or no, does the Hoda only work when it's really true? But if it's not true, so then the Hoda doesn't work. That's a machlokas. So Rishonim say, so Nebuka Yosef says it only works here on the daf, it only works if it's really true. I can't admit something that's false. Others say, no, Hoda is actually a real kinin. My Hoda is a way of transferring property over to him. So they talk about Halach Lamaisa when it comes to Mechiras Chametz and selling to the guy, would a Hoda, would that be sufficient kinin to work to sell to the guy the Chametz? I'm admitting that all the property is now, all the money, this Chametz is yours, the Akum. And that's what they talk about, whether Kinyan or Daisa is sufficient or not. So that's the shaila the Gemara wants to know here. Does it work? So the Gemara says, Ibayilahu shchimira shehod demahu. What's the halacha? Is the admission considered a good admission? So the Gemara brings an interesting raya, Tashma, the Isur Giura Havi. And Giura. He was a Isur, his name was Isur, he was a Ger. And Havilei Tracer Alfei Zuzah. He had a lot of money. And the money happened to be in a safe in Bei Rava, in the Beis Medrash Rava. And Rav Meri Bray, he had a son, Rav Meri. We look at Rashbam and Tosis in a second who Rav Meri is, but he had a son, Rav Meri. Rav Meri Bray. Horaso Shilobuk Dusha. He was conceived, the child was conceived while Isser was not a Jew. But Leidasa Bukdusha, Havi. But when he was born, so then the father and mother, unclear exactly, he was Jewish. The Gemara's and Sanhedrin talk about the typical case of Horaso Shilobuk Kedusha, Vuleidasa Bukdusha. Where the conception was when the mother was not Jewish, she became pregnant, and then she converted while being a Mu'beres, so now even though the Horasa was Shiloba Kedusha, she wasn't Jewish, but the Leidasa was Kedusha, that's a Gemara discussion in Sanhedrin. But look what Rashbam says here in this case, De'Iser, who is Iser? It's Rashbam around 10 narrow lines up, Iser who? Iser Gira, he was a Ger, Sheba al Rachel Bas Mar Shmuel Kodem Shinis Gair. He was ba on the daughter of Mar Shmuel. The daughter of Mar Shmuel's name is Rachel. So he's ba aleha before he converted, when he was still a non-Jew. Miss Abba, but she was a full bona fide Jew. She was the daughter of Mar Shmuel. The Nis Abra he manu begius. She became pregnant from this guy as a begius when he was non-Jewish, as Rev Mary bar Rachel, and she was holding the child who would end up being Rev Mary. While she was pregnant, Nisgayer, he converted. Not her, she was always Jewish. He converted, which shouldn't have any impact anymore. He did what he needed to do. She's pregnant. The fact that now he converts doesn't have any impact on the already created fetus. V'havalei, but the Gemara yet calls it Horasa Shelo B'Kedusha V'Leidasa B'Kedusha. And she was one of the daughters of Shmuel who was held in captivity. The Gemara in Ksubis and Gemara in Gittin tell us about. His daughters were taken in captivity. So I'm not sure during this particular Maisha, that's what happened when they were held captivity. But either way, so all the Mefarshim ask, how could this be called a Leidasa B'Kedusha? and Harasa Shalom Akdusha. The husband, or the father, converted, but he already made her pregnant. So what's his conversion have any impact on this child? So Rav Yaakov Emden says, you're right. Typically, Leidasa Shalom Akdusha, and Harasa Shalom Akdusha, but Leidasa Bikdusha usually refers to the mother, who was once a Goya, and now she's a Goita, now she's a convert. But this case here, when do we acknowledge the father's conversion? When it comes to Yerusha. Because Yerusha depends on the father. And so therefore, even though he impregnated her already, that's already what is already exists, still the Yerusha depends on the father, and if he converts, it is considered Leidasa B'Kedusha. And that's what Rashbam is saying. Now Tosos said, look at Tosos, Dibur Maschil, Rav Meri Braid Harasa Shalom B'Kedusha. Tosas writes the Gemara Nivamos Daf Memhei Amrinan Achshreila Rav Meri Barachel LeUmani BePorsi DeBavel. They appointed him some official position, and even though we can't appoint people of official capacity, Afagav Dechsev BeKari Achecha, you have to be a full Jew, but his father wasn't Jewish. Kevin Deimo Mishol BeKari Achecha Karina Bay. His mother was Jewish, so he's a full bona fide Jew. That's a half a minute to think. Since the father's a guy, so maybe he wouldn't be a full Jew, but we know it goes bust to the aim. So he's a full Jew, and look what he writes. B'zeh v'adai ha'yager, v'yuchal l'hios shu osan shebekan b'no shel iser. Is this ha'yager referring to? The Gemara here is saying that even though he was somewhat converted, because his father wasn't Jew, that's a whole other discussion, that if the father is not Jewish, you still have some level of gerus. So he was some level of a ger. But then he writes about Rav Meri. Miu, the Gemara in Shabbos says, Beperek Misha Hichshech, Rav Meri, Barachel, Yisro Gamar Haya. The Gemara there clearly says, both his mother and father are both Jewish. Dikamar Hasan Rabba Avua, the Rav Meri, Barachel. So there, there's a proof that he was a full Jew. And the Gemara, so he ends up saying, there must be two Rav Meri, Barachels of him. Based on different... I'm not sure exactly the shaila here in the Gemara and Shabbos. I'm not fully understanding this. Anyway, he suggests there are two Rav Meri Barachels. So back to the story now. So the Gemara says again that Yisura was a ger. He had a child whose name was Rav Meri. And the Gemara says he wanted to give all the money over to Rav Meri. And Rav Meri happened to be, back to the Gemara now, Bei Rav Havel. He was in the base medrash of Rav. That's where he happened to be learning. And a lot of the Rav Yonasan Milenia wants to know who cares where Rav Meri was at the time that he's learning the base medrash of Rav. But some say the Girsa shouldn't really be there. Others say he was in the base medrash Rava because he heard the following halacha. But either way, he wanted to give the money over. He had, again, $12,000, let's say, he had in the base medrash of Rav. And he wanted, the Yisur the Ger wanted to get that money over to his son, Rav Meri. So how is he going to accomplish this? So Rava said as follows. It was in the base medrash of Rava. Rava now was the shomer. He was watching over the money of Yisur the Ger. So Rav said to himself, Heicha nikninu, Rav Meri lahani zuze. How in the world is Rav Meri going to get a kinyan on this property? E birusha, if he's going to inherit it when Yisur, his father, dies, la bayirushi. Since there was a conversion, Ger shen esgar kikatan shenola dami, and a father's not a father anymore. And a father and son who convert, there's no gerus there. There's no rather Yerusha there. So he's not going to be Yorish. Rav Meri can't be Yorish, his father. E b'matanif, maybe Yisur is going to give it to him as a gift. B'matanif shchimira, kirusha shav yirabanim. Apparently Yisur must have been very sick at the time. And matanif shchimira only works by Yerusha. But only to a Yorish. And kol heicha di isa b'Yerusha, isa b'matana. So only a person who can be Yorish can receive the matanif shchimira. But kol heicha de lesa b'Yerusha, lesa b'matana. But somebody who is not in the parish of Yorish, namely Rav Meri, isn't, so he can't get matanif shchimira either. Now this seems to be a chiddush to me, because I thought you could give matanif shchimira to anybody. I only thought the connection of Yerusha was how the kinyan is taking place, not who's receiving the matanif shchimira. But this line sounds like only a potential Yorish could receive matanif shchimira. So it sounds like a chiddush. I didn't look into it though. Am I missing something here? But that's what it says. I don't know if there's anything more here. There's a decent size footnote here. Maybe they discussed this at point. Either way, so Yerusha, that Rav Meri can't get, but Yerusha, he can't get, but Teres Matanah Shchimira. What other options are there? Ima Meshicha, Lesnei Agave. If he's going to do a Meshicha, that Rav Meri could do a Meshicha on the money, where Rav Meri is in the base measures of Rav, and the money is in the base measures of Rav. They must have been very, very far from each other, and he couldn't do Meshicha. Ibe Chalipin, maybe he'll do Chalipin, so Rav Meri could do a Chalipin in a Kidin Sudar, and through the Chalipin, he'll be Kona the money that's over there. That doesn't work, because Ein Matbea, Niknim B'Chalipin. You cannot acquire money by doing a Kidin Sudar. Only a Meshicha will work for taking money, but to do a Kinin Sudar on Matbeos won't work. E Agav Karka, maybe Rav Meri, maybe Isura could be Makne Karka to his son Rav Meri, and through that Agav that, you'll lump the money together with that. That's a problem because apparently Isura, Leslie Ari, didn't have any land. So Ibe Maimed Shlashtan, if let's say you have Maimed Shlashtan, get the three of them together, get Isura there along with Rav Meri, and if you get Rava there, who is the Shomer now, the three of them in the same room, so then you could also do Maimon Shlashtam, and that works as well for the Kinnim. So says Rava, interesting line here, not really sure how to take this, Ishalech li lo azlina, if he summons me, I'm not going to go. Why? Because Rava is now going to inherit the money. Because a ger shemes ve'ein lo yorshin, it's hefker. So he gets the Rava, who is in his possession, and he gets the first dibs. I'm not going there. I want the $12,000, the 12,000 coins. So so there's no way. He was stuck. So he knew that there's no way that Isur is going to get the money over to Rameri. Isur is about to die. So Rava was very excited to make all the money. But then came along one of his brilliant Talmidim, says, Maskiv la Rav Eka b'red Rav I'ami. Amai, why is he stuck? V'lo di Isur de halein zuze de Rav Meri ninu. V'luk nenu b'odisa. So why doesn't Isura just say, I'm giving a hodah that my son Rav Meri, it's his money. And that works, that's enough. So what happened? Adahachi, Navach Odisa Mibe Isur. So then somehow they heard word of this chiddush of Rav Ika Bredi Rav Ami, and he got word over quickly to the base cholim where Isur was sitting, and Isur said, I'm being Mode, my son Rav Meri, it's his money. So that's what happened. So through this Odisa, through this Hodah, Rav Meri was Zocha and this money. What happened? Ikbid Rava. Rava got very upset. Amar Kav Megamar Tanai Selina Shmafsi Deli. You're teaching people how to tainer, so I'm going to lose out money? So he's very disappointed. He had a whole big Yerusha. He was about to get a Chalik in, and he lost all of that money. Interesting. Look at Tosos Dibur Maschil Megamre Tanisayu Leinshu Mafsi Money. It's an interesting concept in general. Both about teaching people how to make a taina, that gets involved in the whole discussion about hiring a toein in general when you go to a bezdin, how that works. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're tanin and lay, sometimes we're not tanin and lo. Sometimes we do represent and we try to teach them how to make a taina, other times we don't. But here it seems like the concern of Rava was you're teaching him a taina that you're going to cause me a big hesed. The Tosas writes, V'im tomar, ha'dar minim aperikamet kedushin, ha'lo v'maos min ha'ovid kochavim, shenis gairu banav, lo yachsi levanav. Let's say you borrow money from a non-Jew. The non-Jew dies, so you don't have to return the money to his children if they converted. But if you do return the money to them, we're not very happy. You don't have to return the money to them, and even though the children are now Jewish, you shouldn't return the money. But doesn't the Braisa say, the Braisa says, we are pleased with such a person who returns the money to the Jewish children. And the Gemara there answers, Lokasha, Kansha Yisaharasa Leidasa Shalom Kedusha, Kansha Yisaharasa Shalom Kedusha, Leidasa Kedusha. So the case where we don't return the money is where the children were born non-Jewish and they converted afterwards, there is no Shaykhs at all to their parents. But the case where the conception was done by Giyusam, when they're non-Jewish, but then there's a conversion, B'leidaso, so there is some level of connection between the parents and the children, so that we say, Neruach HaCham and Nochem, when you give the children the money back. So he asks Tosos, Vim Kein, Hayala L'Rava L'Hachzir. So then, shouldn't Rava have returned the money to the child, to Rav Meri? Rav Meri now is a Horasa Shlobok Dusha, but Leidasa B'Kedusha. So shouldn't the Chachamim Ruach Chachamim Noche Manu? He should return the money to Rav Meri. He should be very happy that Rav Meri, who's a Jew now, is getting the money. So why is Rav not happy? Why was he ikbud? Why was he upset? And so Tosu's answer is, V'tir Tarbeinu Tam, Dehasam, Kevin She'asala Ha'ovid Kochavim Chesed Shehil V'lo Yasi Imo Chesed. V'itein Levanov. Only reason why we return the halva to the children who are Jewish, because their father, even though he's non-Jewish, did a tova. He lent me money. So I want to do a tova back to his children. But in this case here, Aval, when it comes to Rava, Kan shlo asli mo chesed shivkidim etzlo. And Rava says, you didn't do any chesed. You made me have to watch your money. You didn't do a chesed for me. I was doing a chesed for you. So I've got no need to return the money back to you. And therefore, ein tzarch lahachzir levanev. Okay, interesting tosfos here. But in the end of the day, which is fascinating, that Rava was upset that he didn't get the money.
The law says he really was going to turn it over anyway and make that a teachable moment to show people you're supposed to do the right, you should do the right thing even if it's not, even if it's not. So that was taken away from the other people to show that.
Very nice twist. Very nice twist. That is, no, it's really beautiful. Not I'm serious. It is.
That's a serious thing. What met before and it said, whoever's Isav Yerusha, Isav Matana, it didn't mean that the person has to be a Bar Yerusha in order to get the Matana. It means that the Nosei Matana, because Rav Meri was a Ger, and he had nobody that was going to be Yorish him, he wasn't in the parish of Yerusha, he was a Ger, so Mela, he couldn't do Matanashka.
Okay, so that must be a Machlokas, I guess. But interesting. So the Nosei has to be Bar Yerusha to be considered Bar Matanashchemira. A person who has no Yorush and a Ger, since he can't do that, he can't do Matan Shchemira. Interesting.
A regular person could give to anybody he wants as a Matan Shchemira.
Okay, very good. Okay. I think I saw something that others argue that this is really referring to even the Mekabel, though. Okay, there's a decent sized footnote here. Okay, let's go back to now. The top of Kuv Mem Tesim Abayz now. The Gemara now says, Shaya Karka Kolshu Matanasa. So we said the yesod when it comes to a matna shchimira is that if he gives everything over, mamish leaves nothing for himself. So he thought he wasn't going to make it. So he wanted to give everything in his lifetime, but turns out va'amad he became healthy. He gets everything back because the umdu nadaita was that he was only giving it because he thought he's really going to die. But since he didn't die, so then everything's undone. But if he gives everything away and leaves back a kolshu, even a small amount, that showed he had some glimmer of hope he was going to live. That's why he left something. So all the other things he gave away was considered a final gift. So shaya karka kolshu matanasa kayamis. It's a final sale, final gift, if he leaves even a small amount of property back. The kama kolshu, what's the definition of kolshu, which is always a challenging thing. How do you define a kolshu? So amar of Yehuda marav, karka kidei parnasaso. It means karka, property. That property, not really a kolshu, but enough to support him. Enough to support him for I'm not sure how long, but some level of support. And then comes along Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, Amar mitaltlin kdei parnasasa. Now it refers to movable objects that also have the ability to support him. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Zera, kama mechavin shmaitza desabi. How beautiful are these older people, they're halachic, their statements. Karka, why? Karka, time am I. What was the reason why he left a karka for himself? Because, dikai, samech alayu, if he stands up, imamad, he has the karka to rely on in order to support him. And matal tle nami, also if he has money, the same idea. If he has a property, movable objects, nami, ikai, if he's amad, if he stands and gets healthy, samech alayu, he's going to be samech on it. So that's what Zayr said. Zayr was very, very impressed by this statement. I'm wondering what's so impressive. Gemara itself is going to challenge the statement that doesn't seem so impressive here, but that doesn't come across as me as so impressive. I'm just wondering, whenever I see Rabbi Zeira, I'm always wondering whether it's Rabbi Zeira before he left Bavel, when he's still in Bavel, when he went back to Eretz Yisrael. I'm guessing it's when he went back there, when he went to Eretz Yisrael and was just so enamored by all the great Talmidim that lives in Eretz Yisrael. He's the one who, remember, he's fasted for 40 days, which you forget all the Torah he learned in Bavel, because it's a place of darkness. So when he went to Eretz Yisrael, he was so enamored by every statement that they said, and this was very impressive to him. But it's just speculation. So the Gemara says, Maskiv la Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef challenges a statement of Rabbi Zeira. My kavanasa, what's the kavanasa? What was so exact about their statements? If in fact, it was actually not so exact. Because man the damer metalton, the one who says a kolsh is referring to metalton, movable objects, karka tanan. The Mishnah says shaya karka kolshu, dafka karka. How could you suggest metalton? That's incorrect from the Mishnah. And the one who says man damer kidei parnasaso, the one who says karka, that's enough karka to give you parnasa. But the Mishnah says kolshu tanan. Doesn't say kidei parnasaso. Kidei parnasasa sounds like a lot more than kolshu. So the truth is, says Rav Yosef, they're both not exact. Neither one is exact. So Amar Le'Abai, Abai comes to the defense of Rabbi Zeira. He says, V'chol heicha, the tani karka, karka dafka. Is it really true, Rav Yosef? Whenever the Mishnah says karka, does it really mean karka only to the exclusion of metalton? What about this Mishnah that's found in Maseches Peah? The Mishnah says, V'hatnan hakosef kol nechasev la'avdo. Person writes all his property to his Eved Kanani, that's all yours. Yatze ben Chorin, he goes free because included in that property is the Eved Kanani. So you're giving the karka to the Eved Kanani, you're giving himself to himself, and he's therefore free. But if he shaya karka kol shu lo yatze ben Chorin. But if he leaves back even a small amount of karka, so then he's not going to be considered free. Why? Look at the Rashbam, Shaya Karka Kol Shehu. Rashbam says halfway down the narrow lines here, and Amud Beis, Kagon Sheamar Chutz Mikarka Kol Shehu. I'm giving you, my dear friend Eved Kanani, everything of mine except for a small amount of property. I'm not giving you. So then, Lo Yatza Ben Chorin, he doesn't go free, because Sheha Eved Hukish Le Karkos, and the Chsiv is Nachaltim. It's connected to Karka. So I'm holding back at small amount of karka. That karka might be referring to the Eved Kanani. I'm holding back yourself, and therefore he doesn't go free. The high karka koshu, says the Rashbam, iklameimar shal ha'eved hu omer. It's referring to the Eved, v'nimsa she'eno ben charin v'gam ha'nechasim lokana. Because now that he's not free, a Eved Kanani can't be koneh property, so nothing really takes place in that statement. So that's assuming the Eved Kanani is hukish lakarka. But back to the Gemara now, quoting the Mishnah in Maseches Peah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Li Olam Hi Ben Chorin. No, really, he's free. Even if he holds back a kol shu, he really is free. As we'll see in Rashbam in just a moment, because Rabbi Shimon holds that Eved Kanani is hukash lemetaltlin. So I hold back karka, so I'm holding back karka, but I'm not holding back you, Eved Kanani, so you go free. So you're always free, unless I say, Ad Sheyomar Kol Nichsai Nesun Leploni Eved Abdi Chutz Me'echad Me'irbu Shebehen, except for 1/10,000th among every property. So I'm saying every building of mine, every car of mine, I'm holding back 1/10,000th of it. So even you as the Eved Kanani, holding back 1/10,000th of that, so therefore you're not going to be fully free. That's the only way it's held back. And then the Gemara says, the top of Kufnum, we'll go down a few lines here before we stop. The Gemara says, V'amar Rav Dimi Bar Yosef Amar Rebbe Elazar, Asu Metaltlin Shiur Eitzel Eved, V'lo Asu Metaltlin Shiur Eitzel Ksuba. What does this mean? So look at Rashbam on the top of Kufnun. Amar Rav Dimi Amar Rebbe Elazar, Asu Afa Gav Dekatan Nishar Karka Kol Shiur Lo Yatzel Ben Chorin. Even though the Mishnah said, you hold back a little bit of karka, even a small amount, Ben Chorin doesn't go free. Hu adin imshar metaltin kol shu. Even if you hold back some of the metaltin, it also would prevent the Eved Kanani from going free. The Ev Abdi Nami kim metaltali dami sherei einu mechubar lekarka v'karle b'nei adam metaltli. Even though the pasuk says Eved hukish lekarka, it's also on top of that considered metaltlin dummy, because in the end of the day, an Eved is not attached to the ground. He walks, he moves. So it's both of them. So even metaltlin, if I'm holding back some metaltlin from the Eved Kanani, that could include the Eved Kanani himself, and he doesn't go free. Alma, says the Rashbam, Afagav tikatani karka, even though the mission and pay uses the word karka, lav dafka, doesn't mean karka only, elahu adin de metaltlin. It also includes metaltlin. So once we've established a precedence for that, Masnisa Nami Metaltale Kide Parnasaso Kimikakai Kide Parnasaso Dami. So even though the Mishnah, back to our case of a Shire Karka Kolshu, the person gives a Matana as a Matna Shchimira, but Shire Karka Kolshu, it could mean also Shire Metaltan Kolshu, because Karka doesn't only mean Karka, it means all types of properties. So just to finish off this piece here, the statement had said, if you hold back some metaltin, it will prevent the Eved from going free. If you hold back some metaltin, it doesn't hold back a ksuba. So what's this referring to? So the loch is, when it comes to the ksuba, we're going to see this, we saw this already actually, like a few weeks ago. The person writes property to his sons, and he writes to his wife a little bit of karka, and she accepts that karka, she loses her ksuba. But let's say he writes to his wife only metaltin, and the metaltin, and she accepts the metaltin, that what will not lose her ksuba. Because a ksuba has a shibud on karka, doesn't have a shibud on metaltin. A completely different topic, though. That's just to explain what's going on here. So the Gemara says, back to our case now, no. You can't prove to me that whenever the word karka is used, it refers to metaltin. Because Hasam, there in the Mishnah in Maseches Peah, by the Eved Kanani, Halsim bedin hu delo lisnei karka. The word karka should not have been used when you say I'm selling, giving you the Eved Kanani everything chutz mi karka kolshu. It shouldn't have used the word karka. It should have said chutz mi nechasim kolshu. So why is he used karka there? Because I did the Tana Reisha, since the beginning of that mission in Peah says the following. The Rabbi Akiva Omer, Karka Kolshu Chayevis BePeah. If I've got a small property, a tiny property, I'm still chayev to get pay on that property. And I'm chayev in Bivikurim. So, some want to use the word Karka there in the beginning, we use Karka at the end. So, V'lichtav Alem, Prizbol. Also, if I want to write a Prizbol to prevent Shemitah's Ksafim, as long as it's a Karka Kolshu, I'm allowed to write a Prizbol. And also, liknos imam minichasim shenim lehem echrayos bekesiv b'shar b'chazaka. If I want to give you property, some money, as I want to give you money on this karka, so I'm using the karka here to give you the karka plus some metaltim. So as long as I've got a karka kolshu, I could sell you this small property along with metaltim as well. So I could sell the property kesiv shar chazaka and lumping on top of that all the cash I want to give you. So for all the halachas, the Mishnah's telling me I need a karka kolshu. So umishim hachi. So once you said the whole race is all about a karka, only works a land. Katani karka. We also taught karka in the seifa regarding the Eved Kanani. But the halacha really is that even metaltin would work for Eved Kanani. Again, if I say to my Eved Kanani, I'm giving you all my property, chutz mi metaltin kolshu, it wouldn't be. He would not be acquiring himself because that metaltin might be referring to him as well, just like karka is referring to him as well. But this is an example where karka is lavdafka. But in general, whenever the word karka is used, it means dafka karka. So we'll continue this discussion, Mit Hashem, tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day.